Psalm chapter 77. Why don't we read verses 1 to 10? Tonight we're going to look at a wonderful psalm that should encourage us to draw nearer to the Lord. Psalm 77, verses 1 to 10. The psalmist said in verse 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would reveal your word to us this evening. Lord, help us to understand what was taking place in the life of this one who wrote your word. Help us to understand, Lord, we too face trials and troubles. And Lord, we too are prone to despair in them. And Father, we pray that you would revive us by your truth as we learn what it means to turn back to you in that day of trouble so that we may learn to trust in you. And Father, that we may know your faithfulness in a greater way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This evening we're going to look at Psalm 77. And it's a wonderful psalm of revival when it comes to our faith. This morning we were looking at the fact that as Christians we all face obstacles in our lives. Whether they be personal, whether they be problems outside of us, we will all face trials, we'll all face testings. And here in Psalm 77, it's no secret that this psalmist, Asaph, was facing a great problem in his life. We don't know what that problem was, but it certainly troubled him. He was certainly overwhelmed. And we are reminded about David's Psalms when he felt overwhelmed. But in this particular case, we see a psalmist in despair. And as we look into this psalm, we'll see that the psalmist, during his time of trouble, he was discouraged. He was despairing. In fact, he started to think wrong thoughts about God. And tonight we're going to learn that it is a dangerous thing in a time of trouble to wander away from God in our heart. It is a dangerous thing to stay in that place, because that's where God does not want us to stay. But isn't it true that you and I are not prone to despairing in that time of trouble? You and I are not, we are prone to despairing. We are often prone to being discouraged and depressed. So often we are prone to break down and dig our own pit, if you will, and sit in it for a little while. Thankfully, the psalmist, though he experienced these troubles, these difficulties, he didn't stay there. Amen. So this is a wonderful psalm of the revival of a man's faith. And maybe you're here this evening and you might say, Pastor, I need a little bit of revival in my faith. Maybe you are discouraged about something tonight. Maybe you are despairing about a problem in your life. Let me encourage you that the psalmist went through the same problems, went through the same trials. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, we've been encouraged this year that these people who lived by faith, they were ordinary people, but they had an extraordinary God. They had problems, they had sins, they had times where they were depressed and discouraged, where they wandered away from the Lord. But thank God they came back to the Lord and put their faith in Him. And they were recorded in the Word of God to encourage you and I. But there is one person that God gives us as an example, whom God says, don't look to their example to follow them. Don't look at their example of faith. because their example is written in Hebrews chapter 12 of not to follow. Esau was recorded in the Word of God. And God said about Esau that under the problems and the chastening hand of God, he responded in the wrong way. You see, he despaired when his brother betrayed him. He despaired when his parents misunderstood him. He despaired when things turned against him. And instead of turning back to God and enduring the chastening that God allowed, he turned away from God. And he went into sin and immorality, and he's continued to spiral down into a pit of despair. And that's where God said, don't follow Esau. He became bitter and angry, and he stayed there. And that's where God doesn't want us to go as Christians. We might go down that path for a little while, but let me encourage you, we don't need to stay there, amen? And let's learn this evening from this psalmist's example of what took place in this heart. Now, the title of the message this evening is this: it's not God's fault, it's mine. It's not God's fault, it's mine. And that is the title of the message. Let's learn what that means in Psalm 77. Notice, first of all, the psalmist's despair. Notice he was in despair during his time of trouble. Notice verse number 2. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Now that sounds good, it sounds fine, it sounds right, but notice the rest of the verse. My soul ran in the night. Was he experiencing a physical trial, or was it a spiritual time of agony? We're not sure, but he says this in verse 2, and cease not, my soul refused to be comforted. So here we are, the psalmist was facing a trial, a time of testing in his life, and the Bible says that he refused to be comforted. Can you see very quickly this evening, this was a man in despair. He knew that he could be comforted, but he refused it. He didn't want to be comforted. He didn't turn to the Word of God. In fact, the Bible reveals to us that instead of seeking the comfort of God, he chose to indulge in his troubles. He chose to feel sorry for himself. He refused to be comforted. Let me ask you this evening, have you ever despaired in your life, and I know I have in mine, where when people tried to encourage you, you didn't want to listen? In fact, it was more irritating to listen to them and the advice or the encouragement that they wanted to give, and you would have rather just be on your own. You know, sometimes when we're discouraged, when we're in despair, we choose not to be comforted. Sometimes that leads us not to come to church. Sometimes that leads us not to talk to others. But friends, that's never the solution. That is never the solution. And in my own experience, from my own times of despair, and none of us are prone to despairing, that choice never leads to a happy ending. Choosing not to be comforted. You see, that's where the psalmist was at. And when you and I adopt that kind of attitude, when we go down that path, then we prevent God from comforting us. We pretty much say no to God, I want to be left on my own, and we drift further into that place of despair. And as we have mentioned before, when we've looked at the despairing ones of old, that's where God does not want us to stay, amen? He doesn't want us to stay in the pit. When you and I find ourselves in the pit of woe, the pit of grief, the pit of anger, the pit of trouble, God is the only one, and thank God he can lift us out and revive us up out of that pit of despair. He doesn't want us to stay there. But we need to be careful to understand that having a pity party, indulging in our problems, is not the will of God for us. As we often use as an example, there was Jonah. Jonah of old, as he sat at the end of the book of Jonah, complaining and murmuring and despairing about all that happened, God said to Jonah these words. He said, doest thou well to be angry? Jonah, do you really have a right to behave this way? That's what he said. He said, Jonah, if you really saw things from my perspective, you wouldn't be acting this way. You wouldn't be behaving this way. Jonah, you have no right to have a pity party and sit in a ditch and complain. Jonah, you don't have the full picture of what's just taken place. Jonah, you don't have that right. Jonah, it is not just for you to have a pity party. And we don't know what happened to Jonah. I trust Jonah turned back to the Lord. I believe that he did. And yet Jonah was found in a place where he was just complaining. And as you look through the scriptures, any time faithful men and women of God of old have complained, have gone into despair, God never encourages them to continue in that pity party. He never encourages them and pats them on the back and says, "That's okay, I feel for you, I understand what's going on, and you just continue and indulge in your feelings right now." God never does that. In fact, oftentimes he rebukes the one having the pity party. Why? Because that's not a spiritual attitude. That's not where God wants us to stay. But here's the psalmist in despair. What's the first sign of his despair? Well, he refused to be comforted. I don't want the comfort of others. Well, that's one indication when you and I are in a place of despair. We refuse to be comforted. That draws us away from God, friends. And that's not a path that God wants us to stay walking on. Notice there in his despair in Psalm 77, notice in verse 3, he was troubled at the thought of God. I remembered God. Now that sounds good. But notice next, and was troubled. Well, if he truly remembered who God was, why was he troubled? Verse 3, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You see, the psalmist here refused to be comforted. And what did that lead to? It led to him thinking wrong thoughts about God. His thinking about God had changed because he did not allow God to work in his life. He refused to be comforted. So therefore, he no longer saw God as he really was. He came up with his own thoughts about God. And those thoughts were troubling him. You see, that is the spiraling down of what happens when we remain in a place of despair. Our thoughts about God change. God to us becomes someone else than whom he tells us he is in his divine, holy word. So you can be living your life out as a Christian, and your understanding of God can be completely different to what God says about himself. In fact, most people in the world, they have a completely different idea about who God is from person to person. Everyone can have their own ideas about God, but God himself has told us, revealed to us himself, who he is in his holy word, and it's his word that needs to be our guide. Whether our circumstances convince us or not, that's irrelevant. God does not change. His character never changes. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is holy, holy, holy. He cannot change. That is who he is by nature. He always does everything the right way, 100% of the time. Amen? God is God. But you see, when we are in a place of despair and we refuse to be comforted, well, our thoughts about God change. And you know what those thoughts do to us? They trouble us. We think about God and we start accusing God. We start doubting God. We start getting angry at God. And to us, God can become so disfigured in our mind that we start to begin to no longer want to think about him anymore. Have you ever been troubled at your thoughts about God? I'm sure you have been. Because there are times in your life and mine that situations will come our way that will trouble us. And when we don't think right thoughts about God, the thought of God will trouble us. Why has he allowed this into my life? I know he is good, but this is not good for me. Why does he allow this trial in? Why isn't he not dealing with this? Why? What? And those questions, if they're not grounded in the promises of God, will cause us to be troubled at the thought of God. In Psalm 77, notice very honestly, the psalmist tells us about the effects. In verse 3, he says, I complained. Not only was he troubled, but he started to complain. He started to complain. You know, when you and I start complaining about what God hasn't done for us and what God has troubled us with in our lives, God is revealing to you and I, we are in a place of despair. We are not in the place of faith. We are despairing and we need revival. When you and I start to complain and our thoughts of God trouble us and we refuse to be comforted, that is the path downwards. And I dare say as a Christian, if you've been a Christian for very long, you've been down that path before. We all have. You see, that is the path of despair. That is the path of discouragement. We all end up in a place of despair during times of our lives. And this psalmist, Asaph, certainly did also. But his despair did not stay in his despair. He did not stay there. But for the time being, it got worse. Notice verse number 4. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. What he said in verse 4 was that he could not close his eyes. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. That means he couldn't sleep. He was troubled. He was unable to sleep. It's not that he was praying and that therefore he wasn't sleeping. You know, there are times where we shouldn't sleep, where we need to pray. It doesn't mean that you are in despair. It just means that you are setting some sleep aside in order to speak to God or to spend time in His Word. But there are times in your life and mine where we cannot sleep because we're troubled, because we are in despair. And that is an indication of our need for the Lord. You see, he didn't want to sleep. He didn't want to talk to anyone. And all of these signs are indications of you and I indulging in the flesh. When you and I don't deal with trials and difficulties in our lives spiritually, well, we won't be able to sleep. Why? Because they'll continue to circle in our mind like a whirlwind. All the complexities and the what ifs, that's what I like to call it, the what if syndrome. What if? And you know, and men are not as skilled as ladies are in this, joining the branches of the trees to a multitude of million other branches. What if this happened? And then they, you know, all the dots change and connect to different thoughts. And ladies, your minds can be filled with thoughts of what if? What if this happened? What if that happened? And you see, when we are in a place of despair and we forget about God, it's easy to break down. It's easy to become so overwhelmed that we feel like we cannot go on. Now, men, we've got the same problem, but too often we try to solve our problems. And the what ifs can overcome us. And we need to make sure that we don't indulge in our own thinking. Amen? Because our own thinking can be completely off track. Would you agree that's where the psalmist was when he wrote this psalm? He was completely off track. The thought of God troubled him. You know, the thought of God should never trouble us. The thought of God should be a comfort and a security blanket at night, if you will, if we think about God. The psalmist said, I will lay me down both in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. The psalmist David was comforted by the thought of God, and he said, it's because of God's presence in my life that I can sleep, even though there are men after me that desire to kill me tonight. I can sleep well because of God. But this psalmist was troubled, and he couldn't sleep. He wouldn't sleep because of his wrong thoughts. Well, what's the point? Well, it's not okay to stay in a place of despair. It's not okay, adults, to have a pity party from time to time and think, well, that's just me venting. That's just who I am. You know, I just need to let loose once in a while and let people know how I'm feeling. Well, that's not God's will at all. That's not what pleases him and what he approves of. He doesn't allow us and want us to stay in a place of despair. And by the way, parents, we need to be careful not to allow our children to have pity parties. You know, we shouldn't allow them just to have a little temper tantrum and just leave them on their own for a little while and say, all right, well, you calm down and sort it out and I'll talk to you later. No, God wants us to deal with an attitude like that. That's why we do, don't we, parents? We do. We don't let them just throw a fit and not deal with the situation and say, okay, well, I'll deal with it tomorrow. No, we correct them lovingly. And that's what God does to us. Let me encourage you, don't stay in a place of despair. See, the psalmist was despairing. And the worst thing about this, as we continue down this spiraling path downward in our thoughts and in our heart, we get further away from God. It does not lead us closer to God. That's why God doesn't want us to stay in a place of despair. All right, first of all, we see the psalmist's despair. Notice the psalmist doubts. Well, things didn't get any better. And that's no surprise. As we look on in Psalm 77, notice verse 5. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. So the psalmist is thinking back to better days. And yes, there were better days. But what was his next thought in verse 7? Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Verse 9. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Notice the psalmist goes from despair to doubts. He begins to question God. He begins to doubt who God is. And he says in the Word of God here in verse number 7, first of all, he doubts God's favor. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? You see, because his thinking has been perverted and twisted by his feelings regarding God, he couldn't think clearly about God, and so then he began to doubt God. He began to doubt God's favor. He said, will his favor be no more? Will God no longer bless me anymore? Has his blessings ended? I know there's been a time in my life and times in my life as a Christian that God has blessed me. But to be honest, right now, I feel like maybe this is the end. Maybe God's bucket of blessings has run out for me. Have you ever felt that way in your Christian life? I know God has blessed me in the past and I can see past blessings. But to be honest, they're not a comfort right now, because where are his blessings? Has his blessings run out? Will he no longer favor me? What is God doing? You see, doubts arise when we do not think clearly about God, when we do not think biblically about the Lord. Have you ever felt that way when things weren't going your way? You felt like as if the blessings of God were taken away from you suddenly and will never return. Friend, that is just our sinful flesh having a party, a pity party. Our sinful flesh having a pity party, indulging in our own self-pity, where the Bible tells us, what does it tell us? That he daily loadeth us with benefits. Every day we are overloaded with the blessings of God. So when you and I say, well, I don't feel very blessed today, well, that's our feelings, not the truth of God's word. He daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Friends, our salvation alone is something that we can rejoice in every day and forever. That God would save a sinner like you and I. And yet you and I deserve the full wrath and judgment of God upon our sin. That's what is due to us. We deserve death. We deserve eternal hell. And yet he would send his only begotten Son to pay for your sins and mine. The innocent, the Holy One of God became sin for us. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. He died in your place. He died in my place. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead so that we, having our sins paid for, might experience the full, eternal forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, that is something to rejoice in every day. If that alone was all we had, our salvation, friend, we'd be rejoicing forever. And we will. Amen. But yet when the psalmist said, oh, look, will he be favorable no more? Is this the end of God's blessings? What was he doing? He was indulging in his despair. And because he was accusing God of not being favorable towards him, it was an indication that he was continuing to spiral down in his thoughts. Doubting God's favor is an indication that we have a problem. Notice he doubted God's mercy in verse 8. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Have you ever wondered whether God is continuing to deal with you according to his mercy? Now, honestly, I'm sure we have. I'm sure there have been situations in your life, because there have been in mine, where I was left wondering, well, if God is so merciful, why has He allowed this situation into my life? Why has He allowed this difficulty? It's almost like the wall of Jericho standing there and I can't figure a way in and there is no way out and it's an impossibility, and I start complaining and despairing. Does that sound familiar? And then we start wondering, well, is God merciful? Now, He says He is, but I'm not experiencing that right now. And we indulge in our own sinful thinking when the Bible tells us that His mercies, the mercy of the Lord, let me quote it exactly, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. That means His mercy is unending. That means the bucket of God's mercy does not have a hole in it and never runs out. Amen? His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. So there is never a situation that you and I find ourselves in that we can say, in truth, that His mercy is clean gone forever. There's no way we can say that. But in unbelief, we can. We can say that because we feel like God has abandoned us. And that's not true. You see, the psalmist was descending into a place of continual despair. Let me encourage you, church family, God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Will He refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Amen? That's a wonderful hymn to remind us of who God is. That anyone who comes to Him, He will in no wise cast out. He receives everyone that comes to Him in faith. That is our Lord. That is who He truly is. But you see, the psalmist's feelings told him that God was judging him. That His mercy is gone, and now he is under the judgment of God. Maybe you felt that way before. But friends, that is not true. In fact, to the contrary, God is abundantly merciful, beyond what we would ever deserve. He doubted God's mercy. Notice he doubted God's promises. In verse 8, what does he say next? Doth his, what's the next word? Promise fail forevermore. So he began to doubt the promises of God. Have you ever read the promises of God and you've said to yourself, well, I can see what I'm reading, but I can't see how this is true for me in this situation. I can see what God says, and it is a comfort to a point, but I can't see how this truth will help me. See, God's promises are for all of us. God's promises are for every child of God. And yet the psalmist was bold enough and honest enough, as he despaired in his own sinful thinking, to doubt the promises of God. I don't know if they apply for me anymore. To be honest, I think they don't. Verse number 8. Are they gone? Do they fail? Did God's promises once, were they once true and now He no longer keeps them? Now, here's a question. When we doubt the promises of God and say, well, God maybe once kept His promises in my life, but to be honest, now I don't think He does anymore, what are we calling God? We're calling God a liar. We're calling God a liar to Himself. Can you see this evening how you and I need to be very careful not to stay in a place of despair? Because the more we think wrongly about God, we are in fact accusing God of being a liar. That's why unbelief is a sin. That's why we need to live by faith. That's why we need to believe in the promises of God. Because when you and I despair, when we have a pity party, when we doubt God and we get angry at God, we are waving a high-handed fist of unbelief in the face of God. And friends, He doesn't deal with that lightly. You see, God is holy. And we dare not stay in that place of despair. We dare not stay in that place of unbelief because it doesn't get any better. I hope you've seen that this evening. He went from his despair to his doubts, doubting God's favor, doubting God's promises, doubting God's mercies. Now, these things are sure. Notice verse number 9. I know it sounds laborious tonight, but there's more. Notice verse number 9. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Let me ask you tonight, does God forget anything? Can God forget? No, He is perfect. He is without fault. He is without moral imperfection. He is pure. Hath He forgotten to be gracious? Can you see the lies in this statement? Well, the psalmist, obviously, by God's divine purpose, recorded in the Word of God for us the feelings of a man in despair. And you and I have been there too. Well, we think, well, has God forgotten about me? Maybe with all the millions of people in the world, he's forgotten. He can't see what I'm going through. Oftentimes, that's how we feel. But friends, that isn't true. He can never forget. His promises. He can never forget to be gracious. Lastly, he feared the anger of God. In verse 9, hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? The psalmist, for a moment, caught himself thinking and he said, well, maybe God is no longer merciful because he's angry with me. And if he's angry with me, that's why I'm receiving what's happening with me. Friends, if God was angry with you and I, let me assure you, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. If he in his anger shut up his tender mercies, there is no way you and I would be here present upon this earth. No, on the contrary, he in his mercy pours out upon us his daily blessings every day. Because of his love, because of his mercies, because of his graciousness, because of who he is, because of the promises of his word. Can you see how far the psalmist got from God? Every time he accepted a pattern of wrong thinking, he continued to depart from the truth of God, from the reality of God, and he kept going out the door. And friends, that's where you and I will go as a Christian if we continue to indulge in our doubts, in our sinful thinking, and in our unbelief. You see, the psalmist was on a bad path. We've been there before. I trust there are some people in your life that might be saying, hey, can I comfort you with something? It may not be feeling, may not feel comfortable, but at least they're sharing the truth with you. That's why I believe God allows us to be in a place called a church, so that we can encourage one another. When we are troubled, we can comfort one another with things that perhaps we don't want to hear, but what God tells us we need to hear. That friends, sometimes we just think sinful thoughts about God, and they're not true. So what happened in this psalmist's heart? That is the real key to this psalm. You see, the psalm is not just about a man spiraling down. Because notice verse number 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. You see, God was listening throughout all this. What a merciful, gracious God we have. That he was listening to this psalmist, as he was troubled, as he was complaining, as he was living in unbelief. But thankfully, the psalmist didn't stay there. And the question is, and the key to this psalm is, what was the turning point in this man's heart? What ultimately turned him back to the living God? What ultimately revived his faith to be brought back to God in this day of trouble? Now, what was it that took place? Did God just remove the problem? Is that when he started to think right thoughts about God? That's not true. Well, how do we know that? Well, notice the psalmist's decision in verse number 10. And let's look very carefully at these words tonight. Why don't we read verse 10 together out loud? On two, one, two. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Now, if you miss anything in the message tonight, don't miss this. What was the turning point in the psalmist's life? What was the turning point in this psalmist's time of despair? In verse number 10, he finally confessed to the Lord. He confessed that all this complaining, all this worrying, all this unbelief was whose fault? It was his. He was no longer accusing God, and by the way, he was no longer accusing others. Who knows how others had contributed to his troubles, to his problems. You see, it's never a solution just to say, well, it's their fault. That's why I'm feeling how I'm feeling. That's why I'm troubled. That's why I can't sleep, because of them. No, in fact, it's our fault. When we point to someone else, there are four fingers pointing back at us. When we accuse others, that's not the solution either. And the psalmist was finally revived in his faith because he came to the point where he realized spiritually it was he that was at fault. That's why the message tonight is entitled, It is not God's fault, it is mine. It is my fault. You see, that's when the psalmist came back to God. That was the turning point. This is my infirmity. And he chose to confess his sins. You see, it wasn't God's fault that he'd fallen into the pit of despair. As I said before, he had dug his own ditch by his own choices, by his own thoughts. He was digging a deeper hole for himself. And he was going, sinking further and further into his despair, in his mind and in his heart. That's what happens to us, brethren. That's what happens to you and I when we stay in that place of despair. Well, what's the way out? What's the way out? It's not just a matter of looking up and thinking right thoughts about God. There's something else that has to take place before that. And that is what we call blessed confession. Confession of sin. You see, we're learning about faith this year, aren't we? But what's the opposite to faith? Unbelief. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So what is unbelief? Is unbelief just unbelief? No, unbelief is sin. And so often we live in unbelief and we go from pity party to pity party to pity party and complaining and despairing and doubting God. And so often we never get to the place, Christian, that we confess that as sin to God. And so often all it takes is just one more trouble to come up in our life, and guess where we're back in? We're back in the pit. We're back in wallowing in our own mire and in our own despair. Why? Because we haven't acknowledged our thinking and our attitudes towards God as what it really is, that it's sin. It's sinful thinking. You know, I remember during a particular trial, as I was in a difficult situation and didn't know what to do, and I was doubting God's mercies and his graciousness, and I couldn't see any way out, one day the blessed Holy Spirit reminded me that the thoughts I was thinking about God were not true. As I spent time in the Word of God, I realized that, hang on a second, how offensive must my thoughts about God be to him? And I realized that before I could come back to the Lord or even expect any sort of light at the end of the tunnel, I needed to say sorry to God. I needed to ask the forgiveness of the one whom I have been insulting all these past months. Sometimes we forget. We need to listen to the Spirit of God that says, hang on a second, before you can come back to the Lord, there's something in the way. And it's our sins. If we confess our sins, what does the Bible say? 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to remove, forgive us our sins. Amen. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what happens when we don't confess? What happens when we just get on with life and say, well, let's just see what will happen. And maybe we start feeling better about ourselves. Well, friends, we are no better off. We are often just hiding under a false pretense of trying to pretend that things aren't going the way they are in our lives, and we don't confess them to the Lord. Friend, we don't turn around, we don't move forward. God was there all along. And thankfully, the psalmist has left us an example of faith. This is my infirmity. Let me ask you, Christian, when was the last time you made a confession like that to God? Husbands, when was the last time that you confessed to your wives, I'm sorry, that attitude that I had was my fault? Wives, when was the last time you confessed to your husband and said, I'm sorry, that bad attitude was my fault? You know, we do that in order, why? To keep some peace in the home, amen? To revive our marriages. Why do we say sorry to husband and wife in our marriages? Why? Because that's the only way that you can live as a husband and wife. If you're not prepared to say sorry, you're in for a rough ride. You're in for a rocky road. You can't live that way as a married couple. If you're not prepared to forgive, not prepared to say sorry, but what about you and I and the Lord? If we don't say sorry to God, how can we expect a close relationship with him? One of the greatest problems in your life and mine is the sin of unbelief. Friends, it's not something that can be left undealt with. We need to come back to the Lord in repentance and ask the Lord to forgive us, so that we can have that close relationship that the Lord desires. From verse 11 and until verse 20, we see the psalmist's declaration. We've seen his despair, we've seen his doubts, we saw his decision in verse number 10, and then we see his declaration. If we read from verses 11 to 20, notice verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great? A God is our God. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. If we were to go on, we would just see over and over again, the psalmist is now praising God. Do you notice he's no longer complaining? You notice he's no longer troubled. He no longer doubts the mercies of God, the graciousness of God. His thinking is right. Why? What was the turning point? Verse number 10. He confessed. Good old confession is what we need as Christians in this life of faith. Because none of us, I assure you, have made it to the finish line. None of us, because we're here, none of us are perfect in our faith. We're all growing. We all have times of despair. Maybe you are in despair right now. Maybe you need to confess some things to the Lord tonight. Lord, please forgive me. This is my infirmity. This is my fault. I have dug my own ditch. Lord, you are the only one that can get me out of it. But the first step is, Lord, I need to say sorry. Lord, please forgive me and cleanse me from my sins. And then we will experience a revival of our faith each day as we seek to live by faith. Let me encourage you to make short accounts with God. What does that mean? Don't let your thoughts do this. That's actually a downward spiral. Don't let your thoughts go off forever, again and again and again and again for years, because we can live that way and continue in despair and not enjoy the life of the Christian faith.